بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد We continue in the chapter of Al-Adhan The author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب الأذان And we have seen that Al-Adhan It is اسم المصدر من التأذين And it means linguistically al-i'lam, to declare something or to make a proclamation or to announce something out loud or to make an announcement or notification. And this is the linguistic meaning. And we have seen the example from that in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَأَذَانٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ لَنَاسِ يَوْمَ الْحَجِّ الْأَكْبَرِ الْآيَةِ And likewise, legislatively, we have seen the meaning of al-adhan, that it is al-i'lamu bidukhuli waqti salah bi al-fathin makhsusa, that it is a notification and an announcement of the entrance of the time of the salah with specific words. And we have seen those words, and they are well known, alhamdulillah. And likewise, we have seen the benefit with regards to creed and iman in those words, the words of the adhan, and how although they are just a few words in number, but they summarize precisely the correct creed and the belief, and the aqidah of glorifying and magnifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praising Him, and the fact that He is the one who has the attributes of perfection alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, deserving to be worshipped alone, with no partners, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and clarifying likewise that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the messenger of Allah, and calling to obedience, specifically the salah, and calling to success in this life and the hereafter, an indication to the return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the never-ending delight, al-falah, al-abadi, fi al-dar al-akhirah, by the permission and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it is closed. It is closed with the Tawheed, again, to repeat and to emphasize the obligation of the Tawheed and the great status and rank of the Tawheed, that there is nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. And this is something that is proclaimed and that is known and is announced 5 times a day, alhamdulillah, all over the world, in every land and in every place, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. And in our previous class, we had mentioned a mas'ala, and that is, which one is most virtuous, or which one has more virtue, to make the adhan or to lead the salah, al-adhan or al-imama, al-adhan or al-imama, which one is more virtuous, to be the caller to prayer, to make the call to a salah, to make the adhan, or to be the one who leads the salah, and to be the imam in the prayer. And the ulama, they mentioned that if an individual, he knows from himself that he will be able to establish the rights properly of al-imama, and that he can carry the responsibility properly of being the imam, then this is more virtuous and better. But as for if an individual, he was afraid that he would not be able to bear that burden and to carry that responsibility properly and precisely, then it's better for this individual to make the adhan, to make the adhan. And this is what Ibn Hajar, he had mentioned in Fath al-Bari, rahimahullahu ta'ala. So therefore, the one who has the ability to be the imam, and he sees in himself that insha'Allah he will be capable to carry that burden and to bear that responsibility properly for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, then this is most virtuous and this is better. But as for the one that finds this to be heavy and a great burden that he will not be able to perform that, then it's best for him and more virtuous for that individual to make the adhan, to make the adhan. So the issue goes back to the individual himself. And Allah knows best. And Allah knows best. There's another mas'ala and issue likewise. And it is the issue of whether it is permissible to make the adhan and the iqamah and also lead the prayer as well. Meaning, can somebody who is the imam, can he make the adhan and also the iqamah and then lead the people in prayer? Yani, can the same individual do all three of these actions? Is this allowed or permissible? The people of knowledge, they have differed about this issue. And some of the people of knowledge, they had mentioned that it is disliked. And there's a narration that they rely upon for this, and it is weak. It's narrated by Al-Bayhaqi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, but the narration is weak. But the narration is weak. And what has been affirmed authentically in the narrations is the narration of Umar, al-hadith al-mawquf. It's the narration of Umar, radiyallahu anhu, that he said, لَوْ أُطِيقُ الْأَذَانَ مَعَ الْخِلَافَةِ لَأَذَّنْتُ. That if I could bear the responsibility of making the adhan along with the responsibilities of the khilafah and being the leader and the ruler, then I would make the adhan. Then I would make the adhan. Meaning that he had intended to do that, but he was preoccupied, radiyallahu anhu, that he had hoped to do that, or he would like to do that. And indicating that it is permissible. Indicating that it is permissible. And some of the ulama, they mention that it's allowed, but it's contrary to that which is better. And other ulama, they have mentioned that it is recommended, and that is most virtuous. And from them, Al-Hafidh An-Nawawi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned that it is recommended. If it's possible for a person to be able to make the adhan, and then likewise the iqama, and then lead the people in prayer, this is good for him. And this is because each of the actions, making the adhan itself is an ibadah, an act of worship pleasing to Allah. And likewise, al-iqama, and making the iqama as well, this is another act of worship separate that is pleasing to Allah. And then no doubt leading the people in prayer is a great responsibility and a great act of worship, likewise pleasing to Allah. So therefore, if an individual is able to perform all of them, then it's recommended for him. And this is from the position of al-Hafidh al-Nawawi, rahimahullahu ta'ala. But wallahu alam, what is best is that there would be a person who is the adhan, and that would be his responsibility, and he would be somebody who is trustworthy, and he is somebody who can be relied upon, that he will make the adhan at the proper time, and he knows how to pronounce the words of the adhan properly, and he is trustworthy with regards to the time of the adhan, and he is also trustworthy with regards to the performance of the adhan, and he will not add to the words or make them in a manner that is disliked or say them in a manner that is not permissible. Many people, they want to make the adhan, but they don't know the words of the adhan properly, and they add elongations that change the meaning, or they add the shadda in a place that it's not supposed to be, or an elongation in a place that it's not supposed to be, or they make something long, or they make the mid and the likes in a manner that is not permissible and it's not allowed and changes the meanings. And a believer has to be cautious about this. And if somebody wants to have the virtue of making the adhan, then they should remember the statement of Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, fi sahihi al-ilmu qabla al-qawli wal-amal, that knowledge, it precedes every statement and action. Every statement and action. So this is good. A person has desire to do good, but first he has to learn how to perform that good properly. First he has to learn how to perform that good properly. So then he should learn the adhan. But in any case, there should be somebody who is designated for this, or it is known that he would take care of this responsibility. And likewise, the one who performs the adhan, the ulama, they mentioned he has most right to the iqama. And he is the one who will make the iqama. But if one person made the adhan and another person made the iqama, it's allowed and it's permissible and it is correct. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. And if there was a situation where it was needed from the imam, and there was nobody who could perform the adhan properly or the iqama except for the imam, and the likes like this, then he will make the adhan and he will make the iqama and he will lead the prayer, and there's no blame on him and there's no problem in that. Alhamdulillah. Even some of the ulama have mentioned that it is recommended. As for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we will see inshallah, he had muadhinun. He had individuals who would make the adhan, and they were known for that, and they were entrusted to that responsibility, and they would take care of that affair, and they would call the people to the salah, and they would call the people to the salah. So therefore, with regards to this issue, is it permissible for the imam to make the adhan and the iqama and to lead the prayer? Naam, is permissible. Rather, some of the ulama have mentioned that it is recommended, and Allah knows best, and Allah knows best. Before we read the narrations the author he has mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, there is one more mas'ala that we discuss, and that is the issue of the ruling of the adhan. What is the ruling of the adhan? Is it an obligation? Is it a sunnah? Is it recommended? What is the ruling of performing and establishing the adhan? The ulama, they differed with regards to this likewise, and Allah knows best what is correct in this issue, is that the adhan is wajib, but it is considered wajibun kifa'i. Wajibun kifa'i, also known as fardu al-kifaya. Fardu al-kifaya. It is an obligation, but it is not an obligation upon every individual. It is not an obligation upon every individual. The action that is an obligation with regards to those who perform it, يعني باعتبار فاعله الواجب نوعان, is two types. The ulama, they mention واجب عيني أو فرض العين, the type of action that is obligatory upon every individual, like the five daily prayers and the likes like this. This is obligatory upon every sound-minded and every Muslim who is sound-minded and of the proper age, then any that has reached puberty, then it's an obligation upon every one of them, the tall one and the small one and the short one and the young and the old, as long as they are sane in their mind and they have reached the age of puberty, then it's an obligation for all of them to pray. For all of them to pray. As for the other type of obligation, is called al-wajibu al-kifai, or faradu al-kifaya, faradu al-kifaya, which is what the ulama, they mentioned, that if some of the believers, they establish it in a manner that is required, then the obligation falls off the rest of the Muslims. And it's not incumbent upon all of the Muslims to establish this obligation, so long as those, or some of the Muslims establish it, so long as some of the Muslims establish it until the obligation is fulfilled. And an example of that is like Salatul Janazah. It's not an obligation for all of the Muslims to pray the janazah, but the janazah, it must be prayed. So it must be established in a manner that the obligation is performed. And if that is the case, then the obligation falls off the rest of the community or the rest of the Muslims in that area. In that area, this is called wajibun kifa'i, or farudu al-kifaya, farudu kifaya. From that, al-adhan, it's farudu al-kifaya. It's not obligatory upon every individual to make the adhan, but it is obligatory upon the Muslims in general that the adhan, it must be established. That the adhan, it must be established. And this has come, or the evidence for this, in the hadith of Malik ibn al-Huwayrith, radiallahu anhu. And it's mentioned that he came with a group of his tribesmen, and a group of his people. And they stayed, a group of them, with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam for approximately 20 days. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he taught them many affairs in those 20 days. And he mentioned about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, annahu kana rafiqan rahiman sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he was very kind and he was very nice to them. He was very kind in teaching them and he was very nice to them. And he mentioned that after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam noticed that they were missing their families, then he sent them home. And he told to them, "Irji'u ila ahlikum wa'allimuhum." Go back to your people and teach them. Go back to your people and teach them. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, likewise, he mentioned in this narration, "Idha hadarat as-salah, falyu'adhdhin lakum ahadukum wa liya'ummakum akbarukum." That if the time of the prayer comes, then one of you should make the adhan. One of you should make the adhan, make the call to the salah, make the call to prayer, and the oldest of you should lead the salah. So this is the evidence that it is fard kifaya, that it's not an obligation upon all of them, but rather فَلْيُؤَذِّنْ لَكُمْ أَحَدُكُمْ, that one of you should establish the adhan and perform the prayer, and the one who is the oldest amongst you, he should lead the salah. He should lead the salah. And the oldest one in this situation leads the salah, because all of them, they were equal in knowledge. All of them, they had spent the same amount of time with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and all of them had learned the same thing, and they are equal in knowledge. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he commanded them, وَلِيَ أُمَّكُمْ أَكْبَرُكُمْ, and the oldest of you should lead you in the salah. So therefore, it's not an obligation upon every Muslim to establish the adhan, but it is an obligation that it must be established. And if enough of the Muslims perform it properly, if it is established, then the obligation falls off of the rest of the believers. And they will not be be held accountable, and they will not be held accountable. The author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned the narration of Anas, radiyallahu anhu. And he says, وَعَنْ أَنَسِ بْنِ مَالِكٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ قَالَ أُمِرَ بِلَالٌ أَنْ يَشْفَعَ الْأَذَانَ وَيُوْتِرَ الْإِقَامَةِ. The author, he mentioned the narration of Anas ibn Malik رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, and he said that Bilal was commanded to make the adhan shafa', to make the adhan shafa', yani an even number, and to make the iqama witr. Umira bilalun an yashfa' al-adhana wa yutira al-iqama. That Bilal, he was commanded to make the adhan an even number, yani shafa', and to make the iqama witr, and to make the iqama witr, yani an odd number, to make it an odd number. So we see here that it says, Anas, he mentioned, radiyallahu anhu, umira bilalun. Umira bilalun. If it comes like this, in this manner, umira bilalun, and if it's mentioned to a companion, or about a companion was commanded, then the one who is commanding him is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If it comes that the Prophet, he said himself, umirtu, or nuhitu, I was commanded or I was prohibited, then the one who is commanding or prohibiting him is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as for if this statement comes from a companion, umirtu, or urmilna, umirna, or nuhitu, or nuhina, or I was prohibited, or we were prohibited, or I was commanded, we were commanded, if this comes from the statement of a companion, then this is considered al-hadith al-marfu' hukman. It has the ruling that it is from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, meaning that he is the one who commanded them. He is the one who commanded them. So Bilal, he was commanded to make the adhan in this manner, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he commanded Bilal radiyallahu anhu to make the adhan in this manner. يعني أُمِرَ بِلَالٌ أَنْ يَشْفَعَ الْأَذَانِ, to make the adhan shafa', meaning an even number. And this is with regards to the majority of the adhan. This is with regards to the majority of the adhan. Not the whole adhan is shafa'. Not the whole adhan comes in an even number. But rather, in the last part of the adhan, it comes in an odd number, one time. And that is the statement, La ilaha illallah, in the end of the adhan. And this is to close with al-tawheed, and also to close with an odd number, with witr. Closing with tawheed, La ilaha illallah. But in general, the adhan is shafa'. It begins with the statement, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and they come together. They come together. This is two. And Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Two more. They're four. But they come together. And these two, in the beginning, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, they are two statements, but they come together and they come in the same breath. So one will not divide between them. And they come together. They're recited together. So it is not correct to say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar in this manner. Rather, the ulama, they mentioned from them, Shaykhuna Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Hafidhahullahu ta'ala wa matta abihi, he mentioned that the adhan is like this, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So those two statements, they come together, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, in this manner, like this, in the beginning of the adhan. But just as it is mentioned in this narration, it is shafa', this comes in an even number. And then likewise, الشهادة بالوحدانية لله سبحانه وتعالى, the testification that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, this is also shafa'. It comes two times, and this is an even number. And likewise, الشهادة بالرسالة للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, and as well, the testification of faith with the messengership of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, likewise, it comes two, يعني شفع, an even number. And then, الحي على, then after that, الحي على, it comes also, شفع, الحي على. The ulama, they call them الحي علتين, حي على. It is a verb like this, حي على, يحيعل, حيعل, حي على. حي على, it means to say حي على الصلاة, حي على الفلاح. But there's a verb for that, حي على, حي على فلان. يعني he said حي على الصلاة, حي على الفلاح. Like this, and it's known as the masdar, حي على تون, حي على تون, and حي على تان, and حي على تاني في الصلاة, or عفوا, الحي على تاني في الأذان, حي على الصلاة, حي على al-falah, like this. They call them al-hay'ala, al-hay'alatani, al-hay'ala, al-hay'alatani, in this manner. So these are also shafa'a, hayya ala salati, hayya ala salat, two times. Then after that, hayya ala al-falah, hayya ala al-falah, also two times. This is shafa'a, umira bilalun an yashfa'a al-adhan. And then after that, again, Allahu Akbar, two times, shafa'a. An even number. And then the end of the adhan, this is contrary to what is mentioned. It is the only time that the adhan is witr. La ilaha illallah. Closing with at-tawheed and closing in that manner with an odd amount. With an odd amount. So this is the case with regards to the adhan. And likewise, the ulama, they mentioned that the adhan, it is 15 sentences. 15 sentences. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, that's two. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, that's four. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, that's six. Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, that's eight. After that, hayya ala salah, hayya ala salah, that's ten. Hayya ala al-falah, hayya ala al-falah, that's 12. And then after that, Allahu Akbar, making 14, and the 15th statement, la ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. So there are 15 sentences in the adhan. There's a difference of opinion about this likewise, and this is just in general. We summarize, alhamdulillah, the adhan of Bilal, that is well known. The adhan of Bilal, radiyallahu anhu, that is well known to the majority of the people today. And as for the iqamah, he says, radiyallahu anhu, wa yutira al-iqamah. Likewise, Bilal was commanded to make the iqamah witr. To make the iqamah witr. And this is in general or according to the majority of the iqamah. Or most of the iqamah, except for the takbir. Except for the takbir, and likewise, except for the statement, qad qamati as-salah. Qad qamati as-salatu. Now, because the iqamah, you instead of making the statements shafa', make them witr. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah. These are all witr, except for the takbir. It stays shafa', Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, two of them. But the shahada, it becomes witr, one time. And as for qad qamati as-salah, this is likewise two times. This is shafa'. Qad qamati as-salatu, qad qamati as-salah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah. In this manner. And likewise, it has been narrated also in Bukhari and in Muslim from the hadith of Anas. And he's similar to this wording here. But he said, radiyallahu anhu, lamma katharu an-nas wa dhakaru an yu'lamu waqt as-salati بشيء يعرفونه فذكروا أن يوروا نارا أو يضربوا ناقوسا فأمر بلال أن يشفع الأذان ويوتر الإقامة. And in one wording by Bukhari, إلا الإقامة. That Anas, he said, رضي الله عنه, whenever the people increased, the number of the people increased, meaning whenever they came to Medina after this, the numbers of the Muslims increased greatly. And along with the Muhajirun coming, and then the Ansar in Medina, and likewise people coming from other lands, and the people are entering into Islam, and Islam is spreading, alhamdulillah, and the people now, they're establishing the prayer. He said, radiyallahu anhu, that they mentioned that they should have some manner that they could be informed of the time of the prayer that they all know. So some of them mentioned that they should have a bell they could ring, or they could strike it and make that noise. And others, they mentioned other things like they should have a fire that they would burn. And then Bilal, he was commanded, radiyallahu anhu, to make the adhan in this manner, and to make the adhan shafa', and to make the iqama witr. But in one wording by Al-Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, illa al-iqama, and yutira al-iqama illa al-iqama, that he makes the iqama witr except for the iqama. And he makes the iqama witr except for the part of the iqama qad qamat as-salah. And this part is not witr, rather this part is shafa'. Rather this part is shafa'. So in reality, on the iqama, everything is witr, or it is said one time, except for a takbir. And likewise, except for the part of the iqama qad qamat as-salah. This likewise is mentioned two times. So the takbir is mentioned two times, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And together, as mentioned previously, and قَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةِ, likewise is mentioned two times. قَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةِ وَقَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةِ. In this manner, and this is the adhan and the iqama that is well known. وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ. And after this, the author, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, the narration of Abi Juhayfa, Wahb ibn Abdullah al-Suwa'i, radiyallahu anhu. Inshallah, we conclude with this and continue in our next class. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.